who leads us and who guides us into all truth. We commit every soul that is present here into your hands, Holy Spirit. You are the one who brings divine revelation. You are the one who reproves, rebukes, and you are the one who brings fear into man's heart. And so, Father, today we pray that you will have your way. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this place, over every life, against every spirit of retaliation. Every spirit that's been assigned to this place today, we cancel it by the blood and in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we saturate ourselves with your word, with your presence, with your Holy Spirit, with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for that your kingdom has come in this place and your will be done. You alone will rule and reign in the hearts of men today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So, where we left off last time, the war against Satan. Remember, we are studying how to win the battle for your mind. How to win the battle for your mind. So the war against Satan must be fought and won in our hearts and minds. Fought and won in our hearts and minds. Okay? The mind comprises of the will, emotions, thoughts, and imagination. What does the mind comprise of? Will, emotions, thoughts, and imagination. What does the mind comprise of? That's right. The mind, for the mind own good, the mind better imagine good things. Yes, the mind better imagine good things. Good things. Good things. Godly things. Our mind is Satan's major point of attack. Our minds are Satan's major point of attack. And it is here where the war must be fought and won. And I hope you are really getting this, you know. I hope you are really getting this. It's where the war is fought and won. And it must be won, you know. Because then we'll be defeated and continually being defeated. It is in your mind where Satan is unleashing his all-out war. In the mind. All-out war. I think every one of us know what is a war, right? The war we are fighting, where we are wrestling and struggling against Satan and his evil powers and principalities, not against flesh and blood. And we will continually, you know, we will hear this very regular, very, listen, because it must be understood, you know. I said it must be understood. Flesh and blood is not our enemies. Flesh and blood is not our enemies. Flesh and blood. Let's look beyond flesh and blood and see who is behind the flesh and blood. See who is behind. See through the eyes of the Spirit who is behind the flesh and blood. Natural human beings are just victims, really, that evil powers will use. Will use, I said. After that person dies, the spirit just goes on to somebody else. You know that? Or maybe get delivered, you know? Spirit just goes on to someone else. So, the war we are fighting and wrestling against and struggling against is not with normal human beings, but it is with evil powers, principalities. Amen? Evil powers, principalities. So we must understand that. We can have the powerful mind of Christ. Why? Because he died and he paid the price for that. Jesus Christ never paid the price, so we live in defeat. And every time war is launched out against us, that we'll lose it. We'll end up on the losing side. He died so we live in victory. He died for that purpose. God has planned for us to have the powerful, victorious mind of Christ in operation in our lives. That's God's plan for us. You know, we could listen. The decision that we make in this life, God's plan could come into being in our lives, or we could fulfill God's plan in our lives. You know that? It is on us. The decision we make, because God has a plan for us and also the devil has a plan for us. So that is why we got to guard our minds with all diligence. We got to guard it. We have, those of us who are born again, filled with God, Holy Spirit, have the mind of Christ, you know. You know that? No matter what comes, we have the mind of Christ. Listen, if we are saved, we have the mind of Christ. So is it that we are saved or we are not saved? But once we are saved, we have the mind of Christ. If we don't have the mind of Christ, then we are not saved. Huh? So we got to accept not just part of it, but we got to accept everything. We got to accept everything. Not just part of it, but everything. You know that? Everything that comes in the package, we got to accept. Yes? Is it that we are saved or we are not saved? But if we are saved, we got to accept the whole package. So when Satan comes to infiltrate our minds, we must recognize it and we got to war against that. Because we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16 says so. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16. He has planned that we be transformed into Christ's image. And that is Romans chapter 8 verse 29. Transform into Christ's image. This transformation into Christ's image takes... What does it take? It takes place by the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. How do we renew our minds? The word of God. Constantly being in God's word. Constantly studying God's word. And applying it into our lives. That's how our minds are being renewed. As we behold Christ, we fill our minds with the word. With a knowledge of Christ, we are constantly changed and transformed into his image. So it's not a one-done thing. We constantly, every day that we wake up, we go to decide, are we living for the Lord? Are we in prayer? Are we in God's word? Are we fasting? Are we living the life? It's a daily walk. Yeah. We cannot say yesterday we live for the Lord, so today, you know. No, it's a daily. We got to renew our minds constantly. Yeah. Change and transform into God's image. It's not a one-done thing. You think the devil is going to say, well, look, she accepts Jesus Christ, let me leave her alone. She now belongs to Christ, or he now belongs to Christ. Huh? No way. No way. He'll come at you. He will come at you. As our minds and thoughts, will and emotion, desires, purpose, listen, as our minds, thoughts, wills, emotion and desires, purpose are being renewed, we become governed by the Holy Spirit and begin to manifest Christ's life. Let me read it to you again. As our minds, our thoughts, our wills, our emotions, our desires, our purpose are being renewed. We become governed by the Holy Spirit and begin to manifest Christ's life. That's it. Begin to manifest Christ's life. I tell you, man. This life is not to be taken lightly. This life is not to be taken lightly. There's a reward for serving the Lord diligently. And there's a reward for just being casual and just being religious and you know, showing no kind of caring concerning the things of God. I don't know. There's not a more, you know, terrible place than hell. There's not a more terrible place. Hell is terrible enough. Hell is for eternity. You know, it bleeds your heart when you see, you know, people, you know, ignoring God and the things of God, and you know, it bleeds your heart knowing the consequence of the whole thing. How the devil could have people so blind? How could the devil have people so blind? Are talking about people in church? Eh? Lord have mercy. I tell you, man. So when our minds, thoughts, wills, emotions, desires, purpose are renewed, we become governed by the Holy Spirit. How we could be renewed? Not in our strength. We cannot try to do it on our own. But as we get in God's word on a daily basis, as we study God's word, as we pray. Not say prayers, you know, but pray. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, you pray. As you live the life, as you live in obedience to Christ, I tell you, the Holy Spirit governs you, and then you begin to manifest Christ's life. Paul told the Ephesians to be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Be renewed. So you see that your mind have a spirit, huh? God has planned that our minds be filled with revelation, knowledge, so that we'll be able to know and understand the riches of our inheritance. And we see we refer right now to Ephesians. The riches of our inheritance and the power we possess as children of God. As children of God, we possess power. We possess power as children of God. If you don't have power, well, you got to check out Calvary. Check out the cross. Check it out. Paul prayed that God will give in the book of Ephesians the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Christ. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 chapter 17, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that is Jesus Christ. Why? That the eyes, having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. That's what comes. Light comes with it. You know the truth in God's word. You develop a fear for God and his, you don't know that? You develop a godly fear. You don't just act okay and you just don't care. You develop godly fear. It's a sobering moment. Going to church wouldn't cause anybody to go to heaven. There are people who are sitting in church what will be left behind. They will be left behind. They will, if the trumpet should sound now, they will be left behind. It's a sobering time and people got to get hold of themselves. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Watch your life and watch God's word. Does your life pattern with God's word? Got to watch it. Ephesians chapter 1. We are reading here 18 and 19 from the Amplified. And it said, having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. You know, when you live in rebellion, you know what you're doing? You're opening your life for demonic forces. Open your life for demonic forces, and demonic forces don't come to make joke with you. They come to possess you, they come to kill you. Bible says the entrance of God's word bringeth light. So, having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know, I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 and 19. So that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. So that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power. And for you who believe, as demonstrating the working of his mighty strength. That's it. God has planned that we have a strong mind. Not a mind subject to the dictates of the devil. Not a mind that is subjected to the dictates of the devil. God has planned that we have a strong mind. Where we have the ability to control every thought. The devil is no one to play with. Who say he loves any one of us? Anybody believe that? You're being deceived. His mission is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's not our friend. And yet you see people always being subjected to his thoughts and his desires and his... You wonder. So God has planned that we have a strong mind where we have the ability to control every thought. A believer has the ability to control every thought that is not of God. Every imagination, every desire, and every emotion, and through the spiritual weapons he has given us to bring it into obedience to Christ and conformity to God's will. That's it. God is calling us to have a sound, well-disciplined mind. That's what he's calling us to do. In this last hour, it's later than we think. I said it's later than we think. Now is not time to be deceived. Now is not time to play the fool. Now is time to be serious. Because the trumpet could sound any moment. And those who didn't make it, man, you'll hear those words ringing constantly into your ears. You'll hear those words. Now it's time to be serious. Jesus Christ didn't die in vain. He died so you'll make heaven your home. He did not die in vain. He died so that we'll make heaven our home. He didn't die in vain. So God is calling us to have a sound, well-disciplined mind. There are many Christians today who feel they cannot control their thoughts. They cannot control their desires and emotions that fill their minds. They can't control it because they can't control it. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to control it, if he's in you, he will, and you allow him to control it, he will control it. I said, if he is in you and you allow him to control it, he will control it. They feel there is nothing they can do to stop themselves from worrying that fill their minds. Or the temptation Satan bring against them. They can't control it. Who say you can't control it? You have the Holy Spirit? Who say you can't control these temptations that Satan brings? Well, then Satan is stronger than God. Yeah? Satan brings against them. When they are depressed or oppressed by Satan, they feel there's nothing they can do. Deception. They think they have no control over their wills to say no to temptation and the lust of their flesh. Satan deceives people into thinking that they have no control. I can't help myself. There was this song when I was unsaved. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. It's a married man singing that, you know, telling a woman. Not his wife, he's telling that. He's telling a woman outside that if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Well, no problem. I'm sure he's already, the amount of years he sang that song, if he's alive now and God say praise the Lord. But if he continue to go down that road thinking that, he will split hell, I can tell you that. Yes? So, Many people think that they, I can't help myself. That's why you got to watch who our friends are, who we keep close contact with. If as a believer, your close contact cannot encourage you to serve the Lord and do right, your close contact is set up by the enemy. And don't say you're in love, you know. The real love comes from God, darling. And the real love wouldn't lead anybody into sin. The agape love. So they think they have no control over their wills to say no to temptation and the lusts of the flesh. Open your Bible and read. You better open it, you know. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 to 16. And let's really read it. Get it and let's read it. Romans chapter 6. I don't have it. I have to look for it. You turn to that? Yes, go ahead, please. Romans chapter 6, the 13 to 16.
I do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness.
Come on, take it, Mike.
Romans chapter 6, verses 13 to 16. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?
Amen. Amen. You see, Satan wants you to think you are a helpless victim and that there is nothing you can do to control the thoughts in your mind. Satan is a liar. How many know that? Huh? You cannot trust one word of his. He's the father of lies, the Bible say. Cannot. He's a liar. He is a liar. He does not have the ability to control our minds. He does not. Let us understand that today. He does not have the ability to control our minds. Satan is a liar. We do not have to accept the thoughts that he tries to plant in our minds. He cannot force us to think bad thoughts. He cannot force us to worry. He cannot force us to be fearful, discouraged, or depressed. We have to yield to the temptation. So let's remind him today. Let's all say it together. Satan is a liar. So let's say it together and let him understand it this morning. Satan is a liar. Yes. Satan's power over our minds has been broken as born-again believers filled with God's Holy Spirit. Has been broken. So he's a deceiver and he's a liar. He only has the power to attack our minds when we fail to resist. So he is victorious over us by default. When you fail to resist, he's the winner. Huh? When you fail to resist. And allow him to have access into our minds. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James chapter 4 verse 7. And again, we get in this one that we already have already written down and all that. But to remind you, the extent to which we allow Satan to have access into our mind and control our thoughts is the degree he has control over us. The extent to which we allow Satan to have access into our minds and to control our thoughts is the degree he has control over us. Agree? Well, whether we agree or not is a fact. It's a fact. If we become fearful, confused, worried, or depressed, it is because we choose to. It's because we choose to. We choose to. Amen? Yes, it's because we choose to. I know that song hard to believe, but it is true. It is only when we fail to use our wills to resist the thoughts Satan tries to plant in our minds and give in to them that he gain access and has control over our thoughts. I'm going to say it again. It is only when we fail to use our wills to resist the thoughts Satan tries to plant in our minds and give into them that he gains access and has control over our thoughts. There are Christians today who are allowing Satan to have a heyday in their minds without putting up any resistance. Any resistance or spiritual effort to take their thoughts into his thoughts into captivity. No resistance. No resistance. Have your way, Satan. Have your way. No resistance. Don't try to take the thoughts into captivity. Not only are they allowing every negative thought, every doubt, every fearful thought, every temptation to enter their minds, they are allowing them to remain and are dwelling upon them. You know, we're supposed to dwell on God's word? What do you think meditating on God's word mean? To dwell on it. To dwell on it. Their excuse is, I just can't help myself. Well, you really can't help yourself, you know. But as we surrender to God's will and purpose for our lives, he will do it if we allow him to do it. Sure, as we surrender. You can't help yourself. So that's a good news, huh? The good news is you can't help yourself. God has made it possible for you to have a 100% free, 100% victorious mind. But you must be willing to take aggressive action. Willing to take aggressive action. Recognize Satan's attack on your mind. Resist the thoughts he tried to plant in your mind. Take authority over them and cast them out in the name of Jesus. What do you do? Sure, that's warfare. That's resisting. That's fighting. Huh? That's fighting back. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Paul told Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So a believer, born again, filled with God's Holy Spirit, has a sound mind. A sound mind. As you turn to it, just circle that word. Sound mind. Soundness of mind. It means, you know what it means? Self-control. You know what it means? Discipline. To be disciplined. In this verse, Paul was not simply making a statement to Timothy. telling him that he had a sound, well-disciplined mind. The word fear in this verse means cowardice. He's encouraging Timothy not to be fearful or cowardly in preaching the gospel. Once the Holy Spirit controls what you say, you're not to have fear for no one. I said, once the Holy Spirit is in control of what you are saying, you're not to have fear of no one. Or in sharing this offering which might come as a result of his witness and testimony for the Lord. Out here in the Caribbean, we don't know anything about that, you know. We know anything about suffering, going to prison, and being persecuted, being tortured for sharing the gospel and sharing your faith. We know nothing about that. But people out there, in Islamic countries and communist bloc countries and all that, they know about that. They know about that. They say communism is no more, it's still there. And Islamic, I tell you, they know. People who live in those areas know about that. Instead of being afraid or timid, Paul was admonishing and exhorting Timothy to have a strong, sound, well-disciplined mind. He was calling Timothy to discipline his mind by taking authority over fear, to set his mind on fulfilling the ministry God has called him to do. So God has planned for us to have a sound mind, one that is well disciplined, one that is 100% free, 100% clean, 100% healthy, 100% renewed, and 100% victorious mind. As we face the counterattack of Satan on our minds, God is calling us to have a sound, well-disciplined mind that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is not ours automatically to have a well-disciplined mind or victorious mind. We must take aggressive action against Satan's attack on our mind. We got to take action, you know. We got to take it. Aggressive action. It wouldn't happen automatic. We got to recognize him. We got to resist and cast out all thoughts he tried to plant into our hearts and minds. We got to resist it. I said, we got to resist it. Yeah. We got to continually bring every thought into captivity. Continually be renewed in our minds by putting off the old carnal nature with its carnal mind and bringing our thoughts, our will, our desires, our attitude under the control of the Holy Spirit and conformity to God's will. Otherwise, where we are going? Where are we going? If that is not happening in our lives, where are we going? Not the heaven that God provide. This heaven is not for jokers. Heaven is for people who are serious about their life, serious about their soul. What Jesus did on the cross, heaven is for people who take that very serious. Live the life. So we fill our hearts and minds with God's word and the knowledge of Christ. We got to do that. When we cast out, we got to replace it by filling our minds with God's word. Filling our minds with God's word. God has not. So let's make that confession. Let Satan hear what we are saying this morning. Let him hear. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a well-disciplined mind. I can have a 100% free, 100% clean, 100% healthy, 100% renewed, 100% victorious mind. I will not allow Satan to control my mind. I will have a strong, powerful, disciplined, victorious mind. You have anything like that written down? I could even wait till you write it down. Those of you who are writing, I could even wait till you have write that down. It is so important. It's a good, good confession. You can afford to confess that every day. Say it out loud. It's a good confession. Satan's objective is to wear you down in your mind. You see, when Satan wears you down in your mind, you give up, you know. You stop fighting and you give up. You just throw in the towel, you stop fighting and you give up. That's what he wants. That's what he's after. Satan's objective in attacking us in our mind, in our innermost being, is to wear us down until we become spiritually weary and faint in your minds. What will be? Huh? Well, that's how. If you stop fighting and stop resisting, that's what will happen. You'll reach a point where you'll say, I don't care anymore, no? What happened, happened. What will be. Huh? It's not supposed to reach that stage. It's not supposed to reach that stage. Spiritually weary and faint in your minds. He knows that if our minds are weak, we will be weak. And he will be able to give access to our minds and defeat us. If our minds are weak, we will be weak. Why? Because our minds are the battlefield where the war is fought and won. Or lost. I should say won or lost. Huh? And he will be able to gain access to our minds and defeat us. We should not just be part of this study. No, we should take that so serious. Apply to our everyday lives if you want to live a victorious life, if you want to make heaven a home. You got to take it very serious, you know. In this massive counterattack Satan is launching against the church, he's going to try to cause you to become so tired of your circumstances, tired of your sicknesses, tired of constantly struggling and not having enough money to pay your bills, that you will be ready to give up. You know, sometimes you blame God for a lot of things you face, huh? Not realizing Satan is the one that's behind it. Satan is the one that is behind it. You know, when my daughter got in the accident, she and the two boys, the fella in the motorbike ran into their vehicle and he died on the spot. You know, Satan used that, eh? But mommy, I was not going to a club, I was going to church. Why didn't the Lord protect me from that? Don't see what that. See who save your life. Because the fella died on the spot. Huh? See who saved your life. See who was trying to kill you. God wasn't trying to kill you. And as a matter of fact, God saved their lives. God really saved them. God saved their lives. The fella died on the spot. But what a liar. What a deceiver. That's his mission. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mission. Becoming spiritually weary is one of the most dangerous positions you can be in. Spiritually weary. I said spiritually weary. I'm warning you now, that's what the servant of God is saying. So that you will not fall into Satan's trap. Will not fall. You no doubt have fought heavy spiritual battles before. Anybody have fought any heavy spiritual battles? Well, you're alive, amen? You're wrong, you're alive. But they are not going to compare with the battles. Going to compare with the battles you are going to face during this counterattack. In other words, what you think you went through? Huh? You know, it's a counterattack? Who knows what is a counterattack? The enemy see that you are fighting, right? So he goes back and muster up more strength. In the natural, he get more arms. He fortify himself and is coming back for a counterattack. Because he wants, when he come back this time, you cannot resist him, but he will kill you. That's a counterattack. Satan is intensifying his attack on the church. He's going to try to literally wear you out. Wear you out. Literally wear you out. And unless you are aware of what is happening, and prepare yourself for battle. You will not be able to stand. You will live in a cycle of defeat. From one defeat to another. From one defeat to another. From one defeat to another. A cycle of defeat. One defeat to another. In this series of lessons on the strategy of Satan, I shared with you how Satan will attack you through your circumstances. So that you will become caught in a cycle of defeat. In this cycle, he will bombard your mind with fear, worry, and doubt until you become spiritually weary. At this point, if you faint in your mind, you will become discouraged. So you know now what is discouragement, right? To faint in your mind. If you purpose to constantly fight back, and resist the enemy, you will not faint, right? Yes, but when you faint, you'll become discouraged, you'll lose hope. Resign yourself to accept your circumstances. And you know what that means? Not fighting. You accept the situation, you accept the circumstances, you're not fighting. Your discouragement will lead to depression, where you will be spiritually mobilized and you will be caught in this vicious cycle of defeat. Are you understanding this morning? Paul warns the believers who are becoming weary and discouraged not to become weary and faint in your minds due to the great opposition and persecution you will be facing, he told them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 3. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 3. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your mind. In the epistle of Peter, he said, Think it not strange when you face fiery trials and darts. Think it not strange when the whole world seems to be against you as a believer. Huh? Not for doing wrong, but for doing right. The Greek word for faint means to unloose, to relax, and so to make weak. Satan wants to weaken us. Do you know that? He wants you to become so overwhelmed by your circumstances, so spiritual weary in the battles you are facing, so weary fighting the battle you have day after day in fulfilling the ministry God has given you, that your faith relax in your mind. He wants your mind to be spiritually tired and weak, so you will let up on your intensified prayer time. Cut down on the time you read and study the word. You don't know who is after that? That's why you got to choose when you pray. You know? Don't choose the time when people will be calling you on the phone every minute. Don't choose the time to get in God's word when you know people will be calling you on the phone or coming to visit you. You choose that time when you cannot be disturbed. So that's his plan. Let up on your intensified prayer time. Cut down on the time you read and study the word. Stop resisting his attack. He will love that. Huh? Stop taking control of your thoughts. When you stop taking control, when you stop resisting, stop casting out doubts and unbelief. Stop releasing your faith. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. You must be in this dangerous point right now. Anybody in this dangerous point right now? Get out from it. Get violent. Yeah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not cutlass and knife and ice pick and hammer and gun. And No. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting on imagination and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what we got to do. Got to get violent. So if you reach that point right now, you just rise up and get violent. Where you are spiritually weary and half fainted in your mind. You may be so tired of the spiritual battles you have been fighting that you are ready to give up. Why give up? The other side not giving up? And they are not the stronger side, mind you. They are not the stronger side. You may be tired of resisting a temptation Satan has been using against you. Tired of resisting it. Your mind may be in constant turmoil. You may be at a point of depression or severely oppressed by the enemy. Whatever strategy Satan may be at using to attack your mind, don't give in. Whatever strategy Satan is using to attack your mind, don't give in. God has made it possible for you to live a 100% victory over all the powers of the enemy. The moment you faint in your mind and stop resisting his attack, you are surrendering yourself into his hands. You are defeated only when you fail to fight. You are defeated only when you fail to fight. You are defeated only when you fail to fight. It is time to prepare our minds for aggressive action. It is time to prepare our minds for aggressive action. Why all this teaching on the mind? Because Jesus is coming. The hour is late. Prophecies has been already been fulfilled. The only one the only thing to happen right now is for the trumpet to sound. I believe the Antichrist is already sitting there waiting on his time, you know. Could hardly wait. He don't have to be born now. He's already born, you know. Always late. In the twinkling of an eye, nobody have time to repent or to accept Jesus Christ. Nobody have time for that. It's even more faster than the time the earthquake. I'm going to say you still could run out, you know. When you feel the rocking, you might still find a doorway and find somewhere you want to run. But when the trumpet song, where you going? In the twinkle of an eye. Look how fast your eye twinkle. By the time I'm saying so now, you know what time your eye twinkle? And in one twinkling, the trumpet will sound. And who are ready, the dead in Christ will rise. And who are ready will be caught up. That's why we're going through this study. Because the time is at hand. Jesus Christ is coming. And he's coming for people who are prepared to meet him. When the trumpet sound, nobody will have time to repent. That's why the Bible says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is just, let him be just still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. The time we got to be ready is now. The time we got to be ready is now. Not next minute. Now. The time we got to be ready is now. To win the war against Satan and live in 100% victorious over every attack. Every attack, every circumstance, every strategy will use against us. We must have a strong, powerful, disciplined mind that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Must be controlled. In his counterattack on the church, Satan is going to attack your mind with such intensity and such force that you are left in a weakened, vulnerable condition. He doesn't want you to have a victorious, well-disciplined mind. He wants you to have a passive mind. What will be, Instead of resisting, taking authority over the thoughts of fear, doubt, lust, anger, worry, depression, and other carnal thoughts, and casting them out, he wants you to submit to them. Hear it again. Thoughts of fear. In ourselves as human beings, we'll always have fear. You know that? Fear is a spirit. And every one of those that was called out there, they are spirits. We got to know what to do. They are not our friends. they are not our friends. Fear, doubt, lust, anger, worry, depression, and other carnal thoughts. And casting them out. Casting them out. He wants you to submit to them. He wants you to become passive, to receive every negative thought. God didn't make us to be garbage cans. He make us vessels of honor that will bring glory to his name. So we are not to allow Satan to dump all his garbage into our minds. Negative thoughts, sinful thoughts, carnal lust and desire, every doubt and worry. As if there's nothing you can do about them. Christians who have a passive mind are easy target for Satan and are poised for defeat. Christians who have a passive mind are easy target for Satan and are poised for defeat. Not fighting. Not fighting, not doing anything about it. What happen? What will be? Poised for defeat. When their minds are in a state of passivity, their spiritual senses are dull and inactive. So when your minds are so, you are not sharp at all. You're not spiritually sharp at all. You can't discern truthfully in the spirit at all. Can't. As a matter of fact, you could be so deluded. You could see good as evil and evil as good. You know that? Good as evil and evil as good. That's how it is. Good as evil and evil as good. You become dull and inactive. Vulnerable to every attack. Every deception. I just said it. Good as evil and evil as good. Every deception, every fear, every temptation, every oppression, every depression. And eventually we lose control over your thoughts and will. Then you become almost possessed. Yes? Control over your thoughts and wills. Then the devil can say he's in control. Yeah, he's in control. By the time you lose that, you're no longer in control of your thoughts and your will. You better cry or get in a place of to get delivered. I'm going to tell you that. Get in a place for deliverance. It is time for God's people to rise up. I thank the Holy Spirit for really energizing me. Because when I came in this morning, I told Sister Hedda, I want my bed. And all of a sudden, the tidings just go and I just feel the energizing of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just sorry for the devil. Let the devil go to hell, right? I wish he could go before his time. He could go all now for my part. Because I felt so, I told Sister Hedda when I came, I said, Sister Hedda, I want my bed. And all of a sudden, I got so energized and I got so strengthened. And you hear me lashing out. I'm not doing that in flesh. You hear me lashing out against the devil. I'm not doing it in the flesh. I'm feeling so energized. All the tiredness, all the sleepiness, all the weariness has gone. So I'm fighting, amen? And I just hope that you're not sitting there not fighting. Because I am fighting in Jesus' name this morning. I'm not really in my strength, but the Holy Spirit is using me to put up that fight. Amen? Oh, it is time for God's people to rise up, to march forward in new strength with a 100% victorious mind. We must not be intimidated by the power of the enemy. We must not be intimidated by the power of the enemy. We must not be fearful or cowardly. We must go to face the enemy with a new spiritual aggressiveness and determination to defeat him in every area of our lives. To defeat him in every area of our lives. The Apostle Peter, in writing to believers who were distressed because of the tremendous trials they were going through, he said, "Gird up the loins." Remember we started that from the beginning? "Gird up the loins of your mind." In essence, he was telling them to prepare their minds for aggressive action. So that's what you do. When you gird up the loins of your mind, you're preparing yourself for battle. And we went through that. I hope you have it well written down. I hope you have all the notes. Eh? That every now and then you go back to it. To strengthen and brace their mind for the battle they were facing. Alright? So, to remind you again, the first piece of armor the Roman soldier put on as he prepared for battle was his belt. Because remember what the belt signifies? Huh? It upheld the breastplate. It put the loins firm into place. Huh? It held the sword and the sheath. The sword was inside that little pocket there from the belt. Huh? It kept the tunic well firm. It held the breastplate in place. And it held the sword. Today is not sword but gun, right? The soldier's belt strengthened his loins and enabled him to fasten his armor close to him, whereby he was strengthened and better able to fight. To loosen it, it means that he wanted to relax. But how many of you know in this war we can afford to relax? We cannot afford to relax because the enemy is not relaxing. He don't even take a little time off. He don't even go to bed. You know, if he used to take a little time off and go to sleep, we would have a little rest, right? But he don't even go to sleep. He don't take time off. So in this spiritual warfare, we cannot afford to take time off. We cannot afford to relax. We got to be always alert. Always alert. Looking for, you don't see how these leaders, these world leaders, If Mr. Obama should walk in here now, you'll see all these bodyguards and some turning north, some turning south, some turning east, and they're always looking, always ready. And those real trained ones, they'll take the bullet first. If that man didn't stand before President Reagan when they were shooting at him, he got bullets yet, but he would have died. But one of the guards stood in front of him, and that's how you do it. Huh? Got to be alert. Always alert. Anytime a war leader get killed, they should, put that one on the firing squad. That he was not a good guard, eh? He was not a good guard. So, we cannot afford to be off duty in this warfare. I said we cannot afford to be off duty in this warfare. Because the enemy does not take a time off. It is time for us as soldiers. It is time for us as soldiers in God's victorious army to prepare for battle by girding up, strengthening the loins of our mind. If we fail to do this, we are going to be able to walk. If we fail to do this, we are not going to be able to walk in the victory God has planned for us. We are not. All right? Let's take a little time off and you just talk to the Lord. You know the areas in your life where you have not been fighting? And God also knows the areas in your life where you have not been fighting, and also the devil knows the areas where you have not been fighting. Take a little time off and let's talk to the Lord. Personally, on a personal basis. Come on, children, bow your head. Talk to the Lord. Tell him what you want him to do for you. You want to make heaven your home? It's not just coming to church, but it's much, much more than that. Ask him to forgive. Ask him to not just forgive, but to wash and cleanse in the blood. See, the cleansing of the blood remove the power of the sin over you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your plan, your will and purpose for every life. Holy Spirit of God, just take charge. You alone can bring conviction. You alone can make God's word real. Pray right now that you will take charge of every life in the name of Jesus. Every attack of the enemy, every counterattack, every assignment against every life in this place, we cancel it by the blood and in the name of Jesus. We say, let your blood cover today. We loose ourselves in our mind, spirit, soul, body. Release the anointing to break the yokes. Every yoke be broken today in the name of Jesus. Every bondage cease in the name of Jesus. Let your blood cover. Let your blood cleanse. Let your blood heal. Let your blood deliver. And let your blood set free in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.